You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Savor, let a believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when to turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome, 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 welcome. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. Welcome to our conversation. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so thankful to share some happy news with you. You know we love good news around here. We're always excited when something wonderful happens, and yes, we have great news. I won Best Christian Song at the Indie Songwriting Awards. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. This is a wonderful awards platform, and they do so much for artists, you know, those that are unsigned and independent. And I am very honored and humbled and truly grateful and thankful to be recognized by them. I thank them so much for this beautiful award, the Indie Songwriting Award for Best Christian Song. I am thrilled. This is the perfect way to just begin this conversation and celebrate some good news. I am so thankful for the happy news we have today and the good news we have today. But I'm also thankful that you and I get a chance to spend some time together and celebrate and honor Indigenous Peoples Day. Or as we call it at our house, every day. And I've had folks ask me, you know, what are some things and some ways that you can honor Indigenous Peoples Day or celebrate? You know, there's a lot of mixed emotions, right? There are people who ask if we should talk about the historical context and historical grief and trauma and spend the day on that. Other folks who resist it altogether and want to talk about conquistadors instead. And then there are people who say, you know, I want to do something life-affirming and uplifting. And I always think about how it's a blend of all of the above, right? We do have to acknowledge the ancestors, and we do have to remember the past, and we do have to teach the history, the real, authentic, unvarnished version. And I hope that that's happening in our daily lives. If so, then we can think of this as a day to celebrate, a day to remember, a day to honor, however best for you. I think it's a wonderful day to immerse ourselves in our cultures, our traditions. It's a wonderful day to reignite our passion for learning our languages. Or begin, like literally say, today I will begin. And you know, beginning to learn a language isn't always a huge textbook and a grammar and pedagogy and all of that. It can just be as simple as deciding that starting on Indigenous Peoples Day, I am going to learn my tribal language one word at a time or one situation at a time. Like I'm going to learn some conversational things every day or once a week, whatever it is, progress. We need to move forward in some way with our language. You know, start with hello, how are you? Conversational terms, colors, numbers, the syllabary or the alphabet. I know for me, one of the beautiful things is to be able to pray and to speak and to converse. And so that's how I like to think of it, you know, even as part of our homeschool journey, how to say hello, how are you, how to wish someone a Merry Christmas, or the food we eat, the colors that we see, the things, the animals that we see in nature, things that have to do with our experience. We're going to the lake, let's talk about it. Or we're watching football, let's talk about it. This is a great day to start. It is a good day to be Indigenous, and that means every day. But it's a really good time to start today. It's another good time to start with traditional food. You know, food is a place where every culture can connect, right? You can go to a festival for another culture and eat some food, and you have a connection. And so this is a great day, you know, to have traditional food, to have traditional meals, and use traditional ingredients from your tribal culture. It's a wonderful day to wear something from your particular Indigenous culture. You know, I wear our traditional skirts pretty much every day, usually with a T-shirt and a cardigan. But this is a great day to wear your ribbon skirt or your ribbon shirt if you don't do that often. I think life is a special occasion. You know, life should be celebrated. And so when we wear our jewelry, when we wear our clothing that's traditional, we're saying that. We're affirming that we're still here and we're thankful to be here and we're thankful to still be well and strong and healthy. This is a chance also to engage in some of our traditional stories. Storytelling season is here, and it is time to share our stories with one another, but most of all with our young people and our children. I think that is so precious and important. I have the pleasure and the privilege of leading an Indigenous story time for young learners, and, you know, it's quite a delight to see, people say the future, but they're really the now. They need to learn these things now in order to carry them throughout their lives. So I love to see our little learners clapping their little hands, you know, actually clapping their little hands and cheering because they like our traditional stories so much. And that's a gift. It's also a grace, really. It's a wonderful time to tell the stories of personal narrative, too. You know, our stories, yes, are treasures, the traditional stories that tell us about nature and the earth and the water and the sky and the stars and the things around us, and they teach us lessons and show us how to do things and why we do the things we do. But, you know, personal narratives are really important in cultural survival, too. Taking the opportunity to tell stories about the ancestors, as you remember them. One of my favorite times of any powwow or family reunion is when the elders all get together and they talk about the way things used to be, and they tell stories, and they talk about people who've walked on, or they talk about people when they were young, or the way that things were when they were young, growing up. Well, we get to do that now, too. I mean, even if you're young, right? If you're 18 years old, you still can tell stories of the things you remember, the experiences you had. And for a lot of our youngest early learners, those are the memories. Those are the beginning of our culture, our families, our traditions, and how things go. So this is a great time. Personal narrative is a wonderful thing to share on Indigenous Peoples Day and every day, especially with our young people. And I really want to encourage you that whatever you know, share it. Whatever you know, share it. Like if you remember your great-grandmother, I have the wonderful privilege of knowing most of my great-grandparents, and I knew them until I was an adult, and that is such a blessing to me. I spent time with them. I was with around them. I did things with them. I went to church with them. I had lots and lots of memories of what they said and did. My grandparents also, I mean, what a blessing that is. My aunts and uncles, you have that too. Who are the people you remember? And what did they teach you? This is a chance that you can teach it to the younger generation, your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, other people who are in your family. And keep those stories alive. Keep those people alive. My granddad used to say that no one really ever passes away as long as somebody talks about them, acts like them, remembers what it is that they do. And that is absolutely true. And Indigenous Peoples Day is a wonderful day to do that. Absolutely. I'm wondering what you want to do for Indigenous Peoples Day. And I want to say something that's probably an unpopular opinion, but I really believe this. After all that we've been through, it's all right, too, if you just want a peaceful day of doing absolutely nothing. Like, if you don't want to do anything on Indigenous Peoples Day, if you want to just spend the day relaxing or being with your family or even just taking a nap, that's okay, too. Because I think one of the wonderful things about sovereignty, especially personal sovereignty, is that we have the right to decide what it is that we will do, to choose how we will spend the time that we have. And so one of the things that is going to happen in your life and mine is we are going to have the chance to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day how best it feels to us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you can decide how you want to spend the time, how you want to walk in a good way and pray in a good way and think in a good way. And so that brings us to one more thing that I really want to share with you right now. I want to tell you, whatever it is that you do, Indigenous Peoples Day is not just one day. It's always. So you don't have to feel pressured that on this particular day, you have to be as Indigenous as you possibly can be or else. No, it's a starting point. It's just a starting point. It's a place to begin and then to walk in a good way from that beginning point. So if you decide that you want to wear a ribbon skirt every day because it felt so good to you to wear one on Indigenous Peoples Day, that's a starting point. That's a beginning point. If you decide that, you know, I'm going to have more traditional foods and ingredients in my life, let this be a beginning. Let this day infuse your life with indigeneity. Indigenize. Decolonize. And then walk forward until it happens again. Well, you know, as I think about the wonderful gifts that we've been given, I think this is a beautiful time to really treasure and be thankful for those gifts. It's a time to think about the knowledge you have and why you have it. That people risk their lives and preserve the culture in spite of laws. I mean, religious freedom wasn't even enacted until the 1970s. Our ceremonies, our songs, our dances, the people who sustained those, who kept doing them no matter what, they're heroes. Because without them, we wouldn't have them. And yet they risk their lives and their safety in order to be able to give us those gifts. And so an especially beautiful way to honor Indigenous Peoples Day is to spend time with the elders. Help the elders. I know a family that literally does yards on this day. They go around and mow people's lawns and clean up trash in the yard and yard waste and they actually help the elders in that way. And I think that's a marvelous thing to do. Remember our elders. Honor our elders. Celebrate our elders because they have kept these cultures alive for us. And it's a wonderful day to recognize that. There's another great way to honor Indigenous Peoples Day, and that's by spending time with our children. I mean, children are such precious gifts to us, and we are so thankful. Every birth is reversing colonization and genocide. Every birth is resistance. Every birth is fighting erasure. And so our children are really our most precious gifts. They are the most wonderful and precious and important thing that we will ever have in our lives, I truly believe. And so this is a good day to honor them. You know, it's a great day for them to have their first ribbon skirt or ribbon shirt or a new one. It's a wonderful day for them to learn how to make one, if they're depending on their age, or to introduce them to things like weaving baskets or weaving or beadwork, traditional songs and dances. They need to learn these things because they have to carry them on and teach them to their children. And so if they don't, then we're truly lost, no matter how much DNA we have. So this is a great day to celebrate our children. You know, to have a giveaway, to say that we're going to actually have a giveaway and share what we have with others because we're so grateful and thankful for our children. To learn our culture and traditions and to spend the day in it. What a beautiful thing to do. And I wonder if you can think of some new traditions. You know, we don't celebrate Halloween. So Indigenous Peoples Day is pretty much our big holiday in this particular month, even though we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day every day, all the days. And so we have decoration. We have clothing. We have stories and songs and food, just like other people have for other holidays. And I think it's a wonderful way to bring our children into the middle of the circle and say, you know, we are doing all of this for you. You are the whole reason that we're still here. Our ancestors survived everything that they survived for you so that you could be here. And we celebrate you and we honor you in so many ways. So Indigenous Peoples Day is very precious to us, and I hope it's precious to you. I hope however you choose to celebrate it today, well, you know, every day. Because if you're hearing this for Indigenous Peoples Day, then wonderful. But if not, it's Indigenous Peoples Day every day. And at every moment, we have a chance to indigenize. If you didn't learn your language growing up, this is your sign to begin to learn it. If you didn't have the wonderful privilege of spending time with relatives who knew the songs and the dances and the stories, this is your sign that this is your moment that they are calling you in and asking you to carry on these traditions. Now, for our friends who may not be Indigenous, I first of all want to ask this question. What is your culture? What does your culture have? What traditions, food, dancing, education, ideas, ways of praying, looking at the world, does your culture have? Even as you honor and respect Indigenous people on this, you know, particular season, what can you draw from the culture that you have sprung from and carry out? Can you learn words in your language? Can you begin to learn about ideas and stories and things from your culture? Yeah, it's exciting, right? I mean, it really is. And I really believe that the more people learn their own culture, the more truly they can respect other people's culture. Because I think we're all more alike than we are different. And so what I see happening a lot is people decide, oh, they're like that, we're like this. And then when we actually have conversations, we actually spend time together, we actually get to know one another, and we actually exchange ideas. You know, that's why food is a great starting point, because everyone's got to eat. And it's a wonderful point to start with our dances, because most cultures have some form of movement. And then what about songs? Everyone likes music. And so I think what happens when we exchange those things is that we find ourselves having common ground, really good common ground, wonderful common ground. So I would love it, absolutely, if all of us would think of ways that we can honor and support and help Indigenous people, and also let this be our clarion call, our wake-up call, that we're going to embrace these ideas in our own lives. I'm excited about this conversation today because it has action steps. And I know so often, you know, we talk about ideas and then we leave it there. You know, we listen to the podcast during the commute and then forget what it said. Or we read a book for class, we do the report on it, and then we forget what it said. But this is a situation where there are actual action steps, the get off the couch step, as folks call it around here. You can begin today to indigenize your life, to decolonize your life, to honor and appreciate Indigenous people, even if you are not Indigenous. And there are a lot of ways to be Indigenous, right? The Ainu of Japan, the Sami of Norway. There are Indigenous people all over the world. Africa has Indigenous people. There are Indigenous people in Australia and New Zealand. I mean, so there's not just a small space for Indigenous people. There are so many Indigenous people worldwide. And all should be celebrated, and all should be appreciated. So this is a wonderful opportunity, just a terrific, fabulous opportunity to indigenize our lives, to decolonize them, and to move forward with Indigenous people as part of our new understanding. And for those of us who are Indigenous, we'll just get it and do it again tomorrow and every other day after that, which is just absolutely wonderful. We have a great opportunity. We really do. I mean, think about it. We have the internet and social media. We have so many things that people didn't have before, where we can learn our culture, we can preserve our culture, we can think about our culture in really wonderful ways, and then we can also preserve our culture. And that's a privilege that we truly have. It's wonderful, really. So, with that in mind, we're going to take a quick break and pay some bills with these commercials. And when we come back, yep, it'll be more Indigenous. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And they come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees. They pray hard and never look back. What's the world forgave you?
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something, serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
And you come and save her. Let her believe they get on her knees. They pray her, and never look back once the world forgave.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here. Oh, how wonderful. We're celebrating today. We're celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, which we absolutely love and appreciate and celebrate every day of our lives, always. And we're celebrating a tremendous honor, a real kindness in our lives. And that is that the Indie Songwriting Awards has given me the Best Christian Song Award. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you to the Indie Songwriting Awards. They really do work so hard, tirelessly, to support unsigned and independent artists. They are so thankful. We are so thankful for how kind they are and how helpful they are. I mean, this is a wonderful honor. It is. I mean, if anyone writes music, you know that it is a labor of love. And when it works, when it's celebrated, we are very grateful. So thank you to the Indie Songwriting Awards for the Best Christian Song Award. I am so thankful. And I, you know, we talk about so many things in these conversations, and it's marvelous for me because the song that I won this award for writing, The Miracle of Us, is literally about the Indigenous experience and how Creator created us and made us to learn from each other and from nature and, you know, the kindness and just beauty of our culture and how it's centered at the very, very heart of it all. In prayer and in the spirit. And so this is a great honor. I'm really thankful, and I thank the Indie Songwriting Awards for the Best Christian Song Award. I'm very thankful, and I'm so thankful to have great collaborators and musicians and music video makers and all of that. It's just tremendous, really. Thank you. Thank you most, though, to God for the beautiful idea and the talent and the help, and I'm truly grateful, always, always. Well, I thought we would have a treat today, and we'll spend a little bit of time with storytelling season. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good idea, right? Doesn't that sound like fun? There is a storytelling season, right? And we don't tell stories all year round because you're supposed to be working, but when we get into the autumn, oh, it's a good thing to be around the fire, the winter time. This was how we shared our culture with the next generation and taught lessons. But we also needed some entertainment, right? If it's cold and everyone's inside, and the winters were very hard. And so telling stories is a great way to enjoy our elders, too, and teach the young, entertain everyone else, and keep our culture alive and going. So I would love to tell you some stories that were taught to me by my uncle, Jerry Wolf, who, beloved man of the Cherokees, he taught me many stories, gave me permission to tell them, and he taught me how to tell them. So I'm very grateful for that, especially now that I have a family of my own to pass it on. How strawberries came to be is a great story of how the Creator helps us, even when we don't help ourselves. At the beginning of the world, the elders tell me, there was a man and there was a woman. And they were so happy. Oh, they loved one another. They got along really well. They loved each other. And they were truly happy. And Creator was happy about that, too, because he had created them for one another, and he was very glad to see them getting along. And then, somehow, they had an argument. They were arguing, can you imagine? After all that happiness, they argued. And the woman threw up her hands, turned her back to the man, and began to walk away. Well, after a while, the man was sorry. He was sorry that he had argued with his beautiful wife, and he kind of missed her, and there was no one else to talk to. And so he began to follow her. He began to follow her, but he was having trouble catching up with her. He was very sad and very sorry for their argument. And he walked as fast as he could, but she had a head start and was walking very fast already. The Creator was very sad and very sorry to see what happened with, they were not getting along. And so the Creator said, oh, the man loves his wife and he wants her to come back to him. And so he did a great thing. He made a strawberry. Do you like strawberries? I do. Oh, strawberries are one of my favorite fruits. He made a strawberry. And the woman bent down, and she picked up a strawberry, and she looked at it, and it smelled delicious. And while she was looking at it, the man was getting a little bit closer, and he was almost catching up with her. And she kept walking after she ate the strawberry. And the man was walking and he was still behind. And so the Creator, who loved the man and the woman and loved their love for one another, created some more strawberries. And this time it was just about a handful. And she was able to pick those strawberries and she was able to eat them. But the man was still too far behind. Oh, no. Oh, dear. He was too far behind. And the woman kept walking. And finally, the man began to cry. He was sorry that he had argued with his wife, and he wished he hadn't. And she was so far ahead, and he couldn't catch up, and she was lost to him forever, he thought. And the Creator saw this and took pity on him and felt very, very sorry for him. And so he created a large patch of strawberries. And the woman walked right into it, and when she did, she began to eat the strawberries one after the other. She ate strawberries and more strawberries and more strawberries, and she didn't even notice when the man caught up with her. And he began to eat strawberries too. And the two of them sat in that large strawberry patch and they ate the strawberries. And they forgot all about the argument. And they were getting along. And that's why there are so many people to this day. Or at least that's how the elders told it to me. That story is the first strawberries, which is one of my favorites. I think it's so sweet, and I'm hoping that you do too. Well, I have another story that my Uncle Jerry Wolf taught me. And I think I've only told it a couple of times because I really like to hear him tell it a lot better. So I always made sure that he told it. But I'll tell it to you today. In the old ways and in the old paths, the pheasant was always very nosy
and very interested in everything that anyone else was doing. And so one day, he was watching a woman who was using a mortar and a pestle to grind and beat corn in front of her house. "I know how to beat corn," said the pheasant. "I don't believe you," said the woman. "Yes, I can," said the pheasant. And so the pheasant went out back into the forest that was behind the woman's house, and he looked until he found a hollow log, and when he found that hollowed-out log, he began to beat on it with his wings until the people thought, "Oh, look, the pheasant really can beat corn." And that's why to this day, if you go to the ceremonies, the green corn dance, there is a pheasant dance, which looks like a pheasant beating that corn. Oh, I love to hear him tell that story. And I remember that story, and I really, that's why it's so important, I think, to listen to our elders and our ancestors and spend time with them. And when we do that, we keep those stories alive for future generations. And so I really do like that one, and I enjoy it. I'm thinking about my Uncle Jerry Wolfe and a story that he used to tell to me, and I want to tell it to you. I hope you'll like it, and I know I always love to hear his stories and the way that he told them and the way that he would smile after he told the stories, and everybody would think that was just great. Well, I think I'll tell this story because he used to tell it, and I think you'll like hearing it. The rabbit was a very fast runner. I mean fast. When his feet got to moving, oh my goodness, he could cover a lot of ground. And he was always telling everyone how fast he could run, how he could outrun the predators that wanted to eat him, how he could run faster than any of the other animals. And you know, nobody ever said that about a turtle. A turtle was always slow. The turtle was always steady. But he was never fast. And he was never somebody who you would think of running a race with. But the turtle got tired of all the bragging the rabbit was doing. How fast he could run, how fast he could go. And he decided something. "Let's have a race," he said. "A race," said all the animals. "No one's faster than the rabbit. I'll take it," said the turtle. "I'll race you." All the animals were so shocked and surprised. Oh my goodness. They knew the turtle was slow, and they thought the rabbit would surely win. But the rabbit was very, very eager to show how fast he could run and show off his speed for all the other animals. "So yes," he said, "I'll race you, turtle, and you will lose." The turtle talked very slowly. So by the time he said, "We'll see," the rabbit had already bounded off to get ready for the race. They decided on a day and where they would run, and they thought they would run across 4 mountains. And whoever came back fastest would be the winner and have all the bragging rights. In fact, you know, the rabbit really believed he could run faster than anyone else, and so he told the turtle, "I know you're going to lose and you can never win this race, but I don't want to wait all day. So you can start on the first mountain. And then you'll only have to go over the tops of 3 mountains while I go over all 4. Well, the turtle agreed, but he spoke so slowly that by the time he said, "We'll see," the rabbit had already bounded away to get ready for the race. Well, while he waited for the race to begin, the turtle called his brothers. He said he knew by himself he wasn't fast enough to race the rabbit and win, but he did have several brothers, and he asked them to help. He told them exactly what he wanted them to do, and they did it. And when the sun rose and it was the day of the great race, all the animals came to see the race. The birds from above, the other animals from the forest, and the river animals all were ready to see what Rabbit would do and how Turtle would do. Well, the turtle was already making his way to that first mountain because he didn't have to start the race at the same place. And so nobody could see him because the trees were tall and the grass was tall and he was just over there somewhere. And so, when the wolf gave the howl that started the race, the rabbit began to run and run with long jumps and fast speed all the way up the mountain. He thought he would definitely win because he figured the turtle probably hadn't even made it to the top of the mountain yet. But he looked up. Oh my goodness! He saw the turtle at the top going down the ridge. Oh! And the rabbit tried to run and he tried to keep up. And when he did, he looked at the top of the second mountain. Turtle was already there. Turtle had made it over two mountains, and Rabbit was behind. Well, I've just got to run faster, he said. And he did. He ran as fast as he could. Oh! And he looked at the top of the third mountain, and there was Turtle. How is that turtle outrunning me? How is he getting up and down these mountains so fast? Said the rabbit. He was getting tired. He was out of breath. He felt like crying. And then he saw something terrible. Turtle was on top of the fourth mountain, and he was almost finished with the great race. And Rabbit? Oh, no! Rabbit could barely make it down the third mountain. And he was so tired. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw Turtle crossing the finish line. Turtle won the great race. Turtle was the winner. He ran the fastest and he made it over all four mountains. Rabbit fell over, and he began to cry. Well, the rabbit began to cry just like rabbits do when they are tired or sad. And all the animals couldn't believe their eyes, but they began to cheer and to clap and to celebrate. The turtle won the great race. No more bragging from the rabbit. No more listening to how fast Rabbit could run. But Turtle was very humble and very quiet. Everyone clapped and cheered for him, and he just smiled. Because you see, Turtle had brothers. Three of them. And they all looked just alike. And so he asked each one to sit on the top of each mountain. And no one understood that all of them were racing together. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. But if you want to go far, go together. When we work together, we can cover more land, we can harvest more crops, we can gather more food, we can protect more people, we can learn our language and our culture and our traditions and pass them on. And this story reminds us of how it is that we must work together. Well, that's the way the elders told it to me. And they say that, in fact, to this day, turtles look alike. And they stick together. I like that story. It reminds us of why it's so important. Our friends, our families, our tribes, our nations. It's important for us to stick together and work together. It's incredibly important. There's one other story that my Uncle Jerry Wolf told me. And I don't know if I've ever told it before. I used to listen to him tell it and just laugh, especially when he would act it out. But I want to tell it to you today. Rabbit's back. We talked about rabbit and the great race and the turtles. Well, once there was a drought, a very long drought. No water fell from the sky, no rain. The river was very, very low. And it was so worrisome and so troubling that the animals all held a council. A council is a good way to solve a problem. I think about our story, The First Fire, and you may have heard me tell that, or The Great Ball Game. And when the animals get together and they all talk through a problem and decide how to solve it, they include everyone, even the animals that live in the rivers, like the fish and the frogs, or the birds in the trees and all the animals of the forests. And everyone talks together in a council, but not at the same time. There might be a talking stick, or a talking feather, and whoever's holding that has the opportunity to speak uninterrupted until they pass it on. Or they may have simply listening while leaders talk, and then everyone else has a chance to express what they're saying. So councils are a good way for us to solve problems and answer questions. And the animals decided to have a council to talk about this terrible drought because they were suffering. The frogs and the salamanders were drying out, and the fish had very low water to live in, and the other animals needed water to drink. And so, they decided on an idea. "Let us dig a well," said the eagle, who is one of the most respected of all animals because he flies so high and is so strong and smart and brave and keen-eyed. "I like the idea," said the beaver, who is so hard-working, he builds dams. "We'll do it. We'll do it," said the bear. "Yes, right now," said the squirrel. Well, all of the animals decided that they would dig a well and see if any of the beautiful springs would give them water. Except the rabbit, who we've talked about him. He boasts. He's a trickster, and he's very vain. And in the great race, he lost to the turtle, but he didn't learn any lessons. "I'm not going to dig any water," he said. "I don't need to dig any water." He said, "I have enough water. I have water you don't even know." And everyone dug the well without the rabbit. And yet, Rabbit never did look thirsty. He never did look dry or crusty or dusty. Everyone else was suffering with the drought, and they would go to get the water out of the well that they all worked hard to dig, and yet it seemed like there was just a little less water in that well every day. They decided. That rabbit is getting water out of our well at night and drinking it, even though he didn't help to dig the well. So, they decided that they would catch him. They would make it known that he was stealing the water, even though he didn't help to do anything to dig the well. They took some pine sap, and they used some tar and some pitch, and they made a kind of a wolf. used to look a little bit like a wolf in the dark. And they put it right by the well. They thought it would scare the rabbit away when he came at night to steal some water from the well that he didn't help to dig. Well, he saw that wolf made out of tar and sap and gum. "What are you doing here?" said the rabbit, who had come by night to steal some water from a well he didn't help to dig. "You get away from that well. You get away from my water or I'll punch you." Well, he did, because that wolf made out of tar didn't move. "I said get out of the way of my well." And he punched him again. Oh, and now his front feet were stuck to the wolf made of tar. And, "You let me go," he said, "or I'm going to kick you. And my legs are very fast and strong." And he kicked that pine sap wolf. And he got stuck. "Oh, no," he said. I didn't get any water. And the sun will be coming up, and everyone will know what I've been doing." And he pushed his other foot against that pine sap wolf, and you know what it got stuck to. And when the sun came up and all the animals brought their baskets and came to get water from the well, they had the rabbit stuck to that wolf made out of tar and pitch and gum and sap. He was stuck in that tar wolf. "Aha," they said, "you're the one who's been stealing our water from the well that you didn't help to dig." "Oh, no," said the rabbit, and all the animals laughed at him. Oh, and they didn't help him for a little while he wiggled and wiggled and got stuck some more, and then finally, he pulled himself free. And he ran away as fast as he could. But from then on, he was thirsty. Oh, that's the way the elders told that story to me. And it's a good reminder that we all have to work together. We can't let someone else outwork us. That's what my Uncle Jerry used to say. Don't let nobody outwork you. Because everybody has a part to play and a job to do to help everyone else. And when everyone does what they can, then all of us can do more together. I've enjoyed sharing with you today, and I hope you have a wonderful Indigenous Peoples Day every day, all of the days. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. Thank you to the Indie Songwriting Awards. We're so grateful to you for the Best Christian Song Award. Thank you so much. And we are really thankful to all of our sponsors, our donors. You know, we're always interested. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, a partner, a donor with us, we absolutely need your help. And we ask you to do what's in your heart to do. And all of you who make this possible, the platforms, the guests, our engineer, our just everyone, all of you, we are so grateful for you, grateful to you, and to everyone who's ever done anything to help this wonderful conversation continue. You didn't have to do it, but you did, and we are grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together next time.
And save her. Let her believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all and never look back once the war forgave you.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.